Talking with Northfield Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Rich. Thanks for having us in for our redux.
Thank you for helping us out. We do appreciate it. Okay, so there was a Northfield School Board meeting last night, and the what I could identify by looking at the agenda, the major order of business was to discuss the results of the fiscal year 2022-2023 audit. Is that right?
That is correct. That was the large ticket item on the agenda last night.
Yeah. How'd it go?
Well, I think that what I would like the community to know is that for the third consecutive year, we had a clean audit. And this is a pretty substantial achievement. In fact, I've joked a bit that, you know, having a completely clean audit is the equivalent of going undefeated in the NFL season and winning the Super Bowl, which we know does not happen all that often. And then to have it done three consecutive years during what I would consider to be some of the most complicated fiscal management times in my 30 years in public education because of the generous resources that we had through the ESSER program and some other federal COVID relief funding. There were some very specific rules around that. So to make sure everything was bucketized in the way that it's supposed to be, that all of the appropriate procedures and protections are in place to make sure that the money was used as intended. All of these things come together are pretty amazing. And Craig Popenhagen, who's the principal with Clifton Larson Allen, who is our auditing firm, estimates that on an annual basis, less than 10% of their clients get a completely clean audit. And again, to have 3 years in a row is really impressive. And Val Murtisdorf, our just amazing director of finance, of course, it's due to her leadership and then the work that she has done with her finance team in the district office. And then even more so, you know, making sure that our building administrative assistants and building administrators are savvy enough to be able to do that work on their own, to code things properly, to follow the proper procedures, have the protections in place. It's really a systems success. And of course, Val is responsible for it. But just really great news. And I think it should give the Northfield community confidence that the money that they've entrusted to us is being well managed.
And just to be clear on this, a clean audit, less than 10% of all these audits come back clean. And that's not even to say there's anything, you know, with anyone who doesn't have a clean audit, there's nothing untoward happening. There's just things that happen.
Right.
And nothing has happened in Northfield, basically, is what you're telling me.
That's exactly what we're saying. You know, I'll give you a couple of examples of things that are traditional findings in districts our size or smaller. A few years ago, before a state law change, more often than not, there was a student activities finding. Not that anything was done incorrectly with the student activities funds, but there was a procedural step that had been missed in how those either you missed a signature from the leader of the student activity group or there weren't the right, you know, sometimes minutes aren't always taken at some of those groups. And we haven't had a student activities finding in a long time, partially because the law changed. But another really good example in districts our size or smaller is having systems in place to make sure that there's a separation of duties so that the same person ordering something may not be the same person paying for it. That's not a perfect example, but do we have checks and balances to make sure that the same person isn't responsible for a number of procedures or tasks within the system? And it's that balance of duties and, again, checks and balances. And, again, this goes to what Val has done with cross-training within her department and making sure that we have a division of duties. We're fortunate to be just big enough, but there are districts our size that I would imagine have that finding very common in smaller organizations who just don't have the capacity to do that. But and that's, a fairly minor finding, but still to have zero findings, you know, is just, it's an impressive result, especially three consecutive years.
Well, when you think about how many moving parts there are just within the financial realm of the school district, it really is impressive. Okay, so there was conversation last night during the board meeting about a topic I would imagine you are energized about, but also probably are getting already a little tired of talking about, and that is the high school facility.
Yeah, I'm not tired of talking about it, Rich, because it is an important issue facing our community, and it's a complicated issue. And so I'm not tired of talking about it because I'm committed to making sure that we find a solution for our community. So as a school leader, I have to exercise patience regularly and really just trying to help people come to this conversation of why do we need to think about doing any kind of projects, major projects at the high school? They come at it in different times and they come at it with different lenses. For example, if I'm someone who comes to our high school and enjoys, you know, one of our quality athletic activities, mm-hmm. I probably only see the gymnasium and the cafeteria. And our gymnasium, I'm not going to call it, you know, Hoosiers yet, but it is a really wonderful place to play. In fact, when we talk to our student athletes, they want more athletic space, but they want to play their games in that gym, right? Because it's quaint. And it is a great place to watch a basketball or volleyball game or a wrestling match or any of the other fine activities that we have there. However, that's the only gym in the building. And so that's an example of how if I'm just coming to a basketball game, I see this quaint gym that is really a cool place to watch a game, but I don't see some of the things that we just don't have in that facility, or I don't see the accessibility issues. So for example, many people don't know this. We're going to stick with the athletics topic to begin with, but this is an accessibility topic. If we have a wheelchair-bound student who is in physical education class and they're using the weight room, which you know is something that they do fairly often, the accessible way to get into the weight room is not, you can't go through the building in a wheelchair to get to the weight room. You actually have to go outside the building. It's about 7 degrees outside, I think, today. Mm-hmm. So we may very well have students who have to leave the building today, use the sidewalk to go around the outside of the building in their wheelchair to get into the weight room. Those are examples of the kinds of things that when you come to a basketball game, you probably don't see. If you attended the awesome 12 Angry Jurors play just a few weeks ago, a really nice theater. It's not a concert hall, right? There's some limitations of the auditorium at the high school. We up until recently, we couldn't even have a full class meeting, grade level meeting in that. It was too small. That's changing with some of our declining enrollment. But you see the wonderful actors and actresses on the stage. You're enthralled by their skill and by the depth of their performances. And you're not seeing the tech people behind basically keeping some of the equipment together with baling twine and wire. We had the electrical board go out, a very expensive piece of equipment, not too long before the performance. Thankfully, because we have some skill and some connections, we were able to get it taken care of. But people don't see the rigging. They don't see the other things. And it's not preventative maintenance that we could have done. You know, this has been around for 20-some years. It's just time to do some of those updates. So that's, you know, one set of examples. You don't get into a classroom where we know we're sitting in a room here that has two beautiful windows that look out on Division Street in our historic Carnegie Library. And I just invite people to think, if you've ever worked in an office environment where you had no natural light, or an office environment where you had a lot of natural light, and you think about how you felt differently. The high school classrooms just do not have substantial natural light. We've got research that shows the positive academic and social-emotional impact on students' grades, their mental health, when you have abundant natural light. I think one of the best things for people to do on this, Rich, is to come take a tour of the high school. We'll go through those items here at the end of the interview. But people need to see what those class... Now, again, the place is not dilapidated, right? But those are some of the kinds of learning objectives that we would have in any kind of update that we would do to the high school. In addition, things that are intended to have students being prepared for the workforce, those are things that need substantial updating. Our metal shop, right? Our wood shop is great, could use some updated equipment. Things like our family and consumer science labs, some of our science labs, our science course labs are close to original with the building or one of the additions thereafter. So if I'm a person who says, you know, I went to that school, which is a totally legitimate, you know, perspective, but I haven't really immersed in it, come to the tour, right? Because you're going to see a lot of things. And that's not even the things that are behind the wall. So our HVAC systems are in really desperate need of significant update. We've done all the preventative maintenance that we can do. We just aren't able to do the kind of updates to those systems. And there's some complications in updating those systems in place. So that's what the tours bring. And we've got three more tours coming up before we'd ask the board to make, you know, any decision about what to go forward with, if anything, on the ballot in November of 2024. And if I might make really clear, Rich, I've had a few people reach out to me saying, oh, you've already decided. I will tell you, there's nothing further. There has been no decision made. And in fact, the board is doing extreme due diligence and thinking through to start with at our first work session, which people are also welcome at our work sessions. Those are not recorded. They're not streamed. They're being held in the high school media center. Again, we'll give you the dates here at the end. But the board is going through and working on what are the problems, what problems at the high school facility can we agree that need to be solved? Gaining consensus around what the problems that we are trying to solve. And that gives us things, again, around infrastructure, learning spaces, natural light, air exchange, accessibility, climate and comfort. Ask any high school kid that they need their winter coat today. And in some rooms that they're going to be in, it's going to be hotter than what they would like. And in other rooms, they're going to wish they had another coat. And so just the challenge of that age of facility. Safety and security is a dilemma at our high school. 37 exits in the unthinkable circumstance that I won't name out loud. We can get people out of the building very quickly, right? That's a strength. At the same time, the flip side, the dilemma that you have is also 37 entrances that in under certain circumstances, people could certainly gain access to the building who shouldn't have access to the building. And then especially elementary parents who are listening know that we really have a lack of athletic space, activity and athletic space, because just thinking about our local youth associations who are getting the latest times, I can tell you, if you talk to Erin Bailey, our director of community education, she'll tell you there's far more requests for space than the times that we have available. And we are falling out of alignment with our regional competitors. And while some people might not think that that's important, they might think that that's a keeping up with the Joneses piece. What I will tell you, it is not. We know how important activities and how essential they are to students' growth and development. And if you think about the things that you learn in activities, teamwork, conflict resolution, determination, resilience, those are things that happen authentically in those kinds of activities. Those are the exact same skills that the workforce is yearning for. So where we used to think of activities as this extra thing that you did, we are really looking at it as more of a core component, whether that be music, whether that be speech team, whether that be our knowledge bowl team that has had such success, or our hockey teams, right? Those are things that really are essential to the learning process to make sure that every student is prepared for lifelong success.
I don't even know how long it's been since we've thought of activities like that as non-essential parts of school. I mean, I'm an old man at this point, and when I was in high school, that was extremely important to have that stuff. Colleges were looking at that in the back then, so it's a very, very important part of the educational process, I would think. Okay, so that sort of identifies the various situations with the building. What do you do about it? Where's the board on the whole thing?
So that's a great question. I think that they're being really thoughtful and diligent. Let's just do a little quick history check. Back in 2017, we had a $109 million bond reform that would have included a new high school. And to be straightforward and honest, Matt got over his skis a little bit, in that recommendation to the board, because we were trying to be visionary. We were trying to see around the corner to address multiple facilities issues at the same time. We know that it was the high school that was the crux of the defeat that night. And remember, we also passed an operating levy that night, but the second question, this $109 million bond package did fail. And the voters are always right. So we debriefed, we listened. 2018, we bring back the elementary projects, and more than 60% of the voters approved that. So we knew the high school was the issue. We brought it back last year. Obviously, we had a little global health emergency in between there that prevented us from getting back after this. And then as we came back to it last fall, I think the board was really where the community is at. This is a dilemma. It's a struggle for people because there's a number of ways that you could address the problems at the school. The board is considering all of the pathways to move forward. They're doing so with having several work sessions, the tours that are available for the community. We want to hear people's perspective before we decide what, if anything, we end up putting on the ballot. We want to be in alignment with what our community thinks is most reasonable to do. There's a lot of opinions on it, but we need to hear them. We need you to come to a tour so that you're speaking with firsthand knowledge of the problems that we're trying to solve. We need you to reach out and email the board or email myself. We need to make sure that you come to, we're going to have a public information meeting in January before the board makes a decision, again, to get feedback. There's all sorts of opportunities. People see me in the community all the time. Stop me at Cub and tell me what you're thinking, right? Because we want to hear from people what they're thinking ahead of time. We're doing a survey in January, a randomized stratified sample survey that will be 400 voters in the community. It's a plus or minus of 4.8%. It's a scientific poll that will give us, is it perfect information? No. But I'll take a plus or minus 4.8% survey most days of the week. And that will at least give us another data set. So the board is considering all of the potential ways to solve the problem, but they're really honing in right now on what are the problems to solve. They ideated 22 problems to solve at our last session. And as I just went through, we bucketized them into five different areas. And so that's the work that we're doing. We're trying to gain consensus around what is the problem that we're trying to solve? What is our goal? We think that when we get consensus around that, we then can look at what are the options to be able to address those problem areas. We'll do pros and cons, right, of each of those potential options. And the idea is that this would bring and bubble to the top what is the right solution to put before the voters in November of 2024.
Okay.
If anything.
So just to clarify some of this stuff, I mean, what we're talking about here is there is, I'm not going to use the word skepticism. There are questions though within the community about why do we need to do anything for the high school? It looks like it's perfectly standing in.
Yeah.
So you're looking for community engagement. Mm-hmm. You want people to come and see the high school for themselves, basically.
Yeah,
first.
And I certainly recognize that there will be, no matter what solution, if any, that the board puts forward, I would humbly say trying to do nothing is not a solution, but it is an option on the table. These are things that we just don't have the money in our annual budget to be able to address. It's just the kinds of things that, again, think about the work that you might do on your house. There are things that you can do with your, you can save and you can put some things, but then there's sometimes you have to take a loan if there's something that you need to do more substantial, right? That's the position that we're really in. And we're not talking about wanting to add something that is extra. You know, we're talking about really at the core of it, a lot of basic infrastructure pieces, which are the major drivers, and then other things that we just know are good for kids. So I welcome skepticism and I welcome disagreement because it is not an easy question. And so what we want is we want people to share what their perspective is, the good, the bad, or the ugly. And there are, as we know, there's a ton of opinions in our community. It's one of the reasons I love working here and living here. And we have people who nothing but a brand new high school is going to meet their desires. And we have other people who fix up what you got and give it another 20 years. And that's, and are both of those perspectives valid? Yes, they are. Those are two ways that you could address the problem. You then start to talk about what's the return on investment in any bond that we would do. You talk about what is best for kids and what is best for the community. All of those things are wrapped into this discussion. So skepticism is okay. In fact, we need the skeptics to come out and we need them to challenge and to help us. And we also need people who are really passionate about what they think a potential way to solve the problem is to come out so we can have this community discussion and that the elected representatives of our district can hear that and then do what they have been elected to be representatives of their constituents, taking all of this complex information and trying to determine, you know, what is the best pathway forward. In addition, we also have to be realistic. We also have to put something forward that has a reasonable chance for success. So I'm sure we're going to talk about the Owatonna High School, the new Owatonna High School here in a moment. Opened up in 2023. The core part of Owatonna's high school was 100 years old, and they've been working for the last 20 years to try to solve their facilities problem. And I think about now versus 20 years from now, and I think, is that that's just the way it worked out in their community? That's just how it worked. But is that, I don't want us to be there. I want to have something that we do think that we can come together and have some consensus that is the way to solve this problem right now, because kids deserve that decisiveness from the community.
Okay, so you've got tours set up on December 9th is the Owatonna High School tour.
So on December 9th, that's a Saturday, we're going to leave from door number one at the high school at 12:15. We have two school buses from Benjamin Bus reserved. We've thought about having people register, Rich, but we want to just keep it open. So show up at 12:15, get on the bus. It's going to be several hours. We'll go down and see the new Owatonna High School. And be really clear, because we're going to see the Owatonna High School, that doesn't mean that I think we need to have a brand new building like the Owatonna High School. That is one of the potential pathways. But I think people need, there are so few new high schools built in Minnesota annually. And in fact, even in a decade, there are very few new high schools built. I think it's important for people in our community to see what does a 2023 building look like. Not saying we have to replicate or do exactly that same thing, but some of those design elements might come into play in some other ways that we could potentially solve the problem. But you'll need to plan a few hours. It's about 45 minutes to Owatonna High School. It's going to be a couple of hours for the tour, 45 minutes or so back, and we hope to see people on December 9th at 12:15.
And then there are tours on December 12th, January 20th, and what's the third date?
Yep, it's December 12th, January 20th, and February 3rd. So on December 12th, that's a nighttime tour. So that's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're meeting in the Media Center at Northfield High School for the tours. Mm-hmm. And then the other two dates, January 20th and February 3rd, those are on Saturdays, and those tours begin at 10 a.m., again, roughly 2 hours for the high school tour. We start in the Media Center. There's opportunity for people to ask questions. I moderate the questions throughout the tour. We come back to the Media Center for a Q&A afterwards as well. So there's lots of opportunities for people to get in and see.
And the board has a series of work sessions set up outside of their normal meetings. When are those?
So our next work session, we've already had one, and then our next work session is next Monday, December 4th, and they have another work session scheduled for Tuesday, February 20th. Those are from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. In the high school media center. Normally, we hold those our work sessions at the district office boardroom, but because we're talking about the high school, we're hosting those work sessions at the Northfield High School Media Center.
Okay.
And all of this information is available on our website. You'll have the link.
Great. All right. With just a couple of minutes left, we need to talk about the fact that winter is coming.
So I'm told.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of this. I don't know. The school district still has to plan for winter and things like blizzards on a day when people can't get to school and such. So what is the plan for the coming season?
So to be really clear, the first thing we want people to know is we want kids in school in person every single day where it is safe to do so. And so that is what our goal is. In fact, tonight, coincidentally, representatives from Benjamin Buss and myself are meeting with the township plow drivers. So the people who are plowing the roads in our townships throughout the district. We're going to talk with them and just try to align. Here's how we make our decisions. When do you go out? What is your decision making for when you plow? Here's when we need to know how close you are to being done by a certain time. So that's a great communication tool for us because we want kids to be in school every day that we are able to do so. When we make that decision, we're always balancing safety, right, with the incredible inconvenience we know that canceling school has for parents and their schedules. So when we do this work, we actually are watching the Weather Service forecast more than any human being should. We have a direct line. I actually have the direct line to the National Weather Service in Chanhassen. They do a number of pieces for school districts. They do webinars. They allow you to call and say, I've called them numerous times at 4:30 in the morning to say, hey, I've checked my roads. There's we've got some snow, but it's not as much as you thought. What's it looking like right now? What about the wind? How are you seeing that change? And so we're getting as much information from the forecasters, keyword forecast, as we can. We are out with a team of people checking the roads, checking rural roads, representatives from Benjamin Buss, myself, Justin Robley from our Buildings and Grounds Department also helps with some of that. And then our local crew, Tracy Clausen, who's our grounds coordinator, amazing work. We do all of our own snow removal. And so between Tracy and his crew plowing all of the parking lots, all of the driveways of the schools, the head custodians who are making sure that the entryways are open, you know, it's a full team effort long before the sun comes up. And the only thing that I can tell you for sure is that nothing will make a superintendent look more of a fool than the weather. And so just for people to know, we do the best that we can with the information that we have at the time. And as we know, we don't control the weather. So many times we get it right, and from time to time we get it wrong, and we just ask for people's grace and understanding when we do get it wrong, because we will.
Same plan as always, the first snow day, assuming there is a snow day.
Great, I like your thinking. Right? There might not be any.
Might not be, right? First snow day would be traditional, kids get the day off.
Everybody gets the day off, yep.
After that, it's an e-learning day.
We go to e-learning days on the second and subsequent full day cancellations, and just for folks listening, you know, we know a lot of people really like the e-learning day approach, but we also know that it can cause some struggles for some families. And so just like if we have school on a day that you don't feel the roads are safe enough to send your student, and if you call in and say, I don't think it's safe enough today for me to send my child to school, we'll excuse that absence. similarly on an e-learning day, if you just can't do that in your house, which is totally understandable. There's no judgment. It's just sometimes that's the way life goes. Anybody who's been a parent understands you've got those days. You can't pull off e-learning on a day that we've called e-learning. You call your school's office and you say, we just can't do this today. Can I have it as an excused absence? It'll be an excused absence, and they'll handle it just like they would if it was the reverse of you just not feeling it was safe enough to send your student to school on a day that we were in session.
Right. Okay. Dr. Matt Hillman, for the second time today, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. And we will look forward to talking to you again in a couple of weeks.
My pleasure.